I wish I had it back now. Amen. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter, you know, I like that Old Testament stuff. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 15 through 22. The sermon title for this one is Get Up Off of That Thing. Deke up here laughing because he heard that one before. He said, yeah, he said. You know, we just dated ourselves. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. But I'm bad. Anyway, let me keep on. Let me just stay safe here. All right. Anyway, get up off of that thing. All right. background of our story is there's this man named Sheba who started a rebellion. He was encouraging many people to not follow and support David. David, a type of Christ or whatever in the story. David's returning as the king. And man, Sheba got mad and upset or whatever and said, we ain't rolling with him. We ain't following after him. And he ran off and hid out in the city. But he led a lot of people to not follow after the king. And you got some folk out there in our community. Just, you know, they leading some of our young folk astray and they ain't following after the king. And David said, you know, hey, you know, if we don't take care of Sheba, if we don't take care of this dude, it'll be worse than what happened with Absalom when he had an open rebellion. And so Joab is leading David's army now, and that's a whole nother story, whole nother sermon or whatever. They catch up to Sheba in a city called Abel. And when you look at verse 15, it reads like this. So I just want to show you what happens next. And they came and they besieged him in Abel of Beth Maacah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all of the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. And then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." And then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." And then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel." And so they ended the matter. "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. And thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And let me explain to you what's going on in those scriptures. Joab's army finds Sheba, and Sheba's hiding out in this city, and they're attacking the wall. And I looked up what Beth Maacah means. It means house of pressure. House of pressure. So the city was under pressure. The city was surrounded. And come on, put yourself in the story. They were surrounded, and they were trying to break down the wall, and they were attacking the city, and they were putting pressure on the city because Sheba was in the city. All right. Have you ever experienced a time when you were under pressure? Y'all trying to be shy, don't want to talk to me. I just talk about myself. I remember a time when I dealt with some pressure on my job. You know, I've been laid off so many jobs. I got more. This ain't like my dad's career or whatever. You know, he got one job, worked there 20 years, got him a retirement check. He went someplace else, worked 20 years, got him a retirement check. He went someplace else, worked 10 years, got him a retirement check. Three jobs, three retirement checks. Man, I got more jobs than I got underwear in my underwear drawer. Man, it's just been getting jobs, losing jobs, getting jobs, losing jobs or whatever. And it ain't because I done did anything wrong. It just be like that. And then some of y'all know that tomorrow you got to go to a job. And, you know, you got some crazy people on that job. And just the pressure from them crazy folk on. I'm about to lose my mind up in here, up in here. Talking about pressure. Pressure. Man, I got pressure in my marriage. Don't look at me funny. You know how that thing be. All right, that's pressure in my marriage. I got pressure in my relationships. Got one child, don't want to talk because of something I said, something I did months ago. Come on now. I'm the one that was paying and doing, and you gonna get mad at me, Junior? I got mad because she got mad. Pressure. Pop their head like a zit. I don't know. I just took something out of it. Got some health pressure. I ain't asked for shingles. Shingles jumped on me. Pressure. Financial pressure. Come on now. Somebody knows something about some financial pressure. You can't. Somebody hit me up today talking about, you know, can you float me a little bit until the next paycheck? So I ain't the only one up in here that didn't experience that time when you can't pay this bill because you're waiting for that bill to come in. And then you done turned in your tax returns or whatever. You're looking for that big return and all you get is some pennies. And you'd already had that money spent before it came, and then it ain't what. Come on, now somebody knows something about what I'm talking about. But you're going through some pressure situations. But if you ain't never gone through it, let me know. Somebody you know been going through some pressure. You ain't got no peace because you're under pressure. Every day seems like it's a rainy day, and you ain't got no more sunny days because you're under pressure. Feel like you're under attack. But this wise woman shows up. And she does two things. First thing she does is she talks to Joab. And so you want to make sure you're talking to the right person. Come on now. You know, sometimes it says she was wise. Well, what made her wise? She spoke to the right person. She spoke to somebody who had control over the situation. I just said something. You know, sometimes you get under pressure. You talk to everybody but somebody. Come on now. You know, you blow up the telephone. You got to share it with somebody else or whatever, but you ain't sharing with the right person. And the only thing that you can do when you're sharing with the wrong person is just going to make you feel that much worse or whatever. And then you got all, you know, they under pressure too. I don't want to talk to somebody who's already under pressure because too much pressure busts a pipe. Come on now. So then she didn't go to just anybody. And she didn't talk to other people in that city. She went to somebody who had the answer.
My Lord.
And then she asked the right question. You want to be wise in a pressure-packed situation? Go to the right person and ask the right question. I got three head nods. Let me tell you something. I'm so glad that I got people who are connected to the Lord that I can call at any time and tell them about my pressure situation. I can go to Junior and I can ask Junior, how your dad doing? How it's going? Brother, I'm going up. The woman in the house and that doing a little, acting a little funny or whatever. Can I just bend the ear of a brother? I can talk to Junior anytime. I can talk to that preacher anytime I need to. But you know, sometimes Junior don't always answer my text as quickly as I want him to answer my text. Sometimes he don't always tell me what I always want to hear. Sometimes I know I can share it with him, but sometimes he might not be available. Preacher got a job too. Amen. Preacher got somebody. He got his own crazy folks he got to deal with on his job. He might not have time to listen. I know a deacon always smiles or whatever, you know, but I can't share everything with him because all of a sudden he'd be looking at me funny up in here. But you know what? Praise God. Well, I can't find nobody on this side of heaven to talk to. There is somebody who understands what I'm going through, and I can go to somebody who's got the answer. Anybody know that Jesus got his line open 24/7? He always answers my text. He may not tell me what I want to hear, but he'll tell me what I need.
Amen.
So glad I got a Savior. Call him anytime. My mama would say, when the storms of life are raging and the sea billows roll, I'm glad that he can find me and hide me safe in his
arms.
Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I can go to him because the Bible says he'll build up a standard against him. In pressure situations where it seems like things are crumbling around me, I have somebody. It's wisdom to go to somebody who knows something about the situation and can give you an answer. And sometimes all you can do is just ask, why? Why? Verse 20, and Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. You got to see what the woman is saying here. The woman is saying, why are you coming? Why is this happening? This was a place where I was peaceful and I've been serving God and I've been faithful. So why is this happening to me? Why is this attack coming that could cough the inheritance that I have in God?
And sometimes I've learned to ask myself when things are happening, preacher, when things are happening to me, sometimes I stop and I ask God, why is this happening to me? Is it something in me? Are you trying to show me something? And don't wait too long to ask the question of why. Because sometimes we can be serving God and still go through stuff and ask the question,
amen,
why? Mm-hmm. Does it feel like I'm still under attack? Mm-hmm. Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so. But a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only. And so Joab says, there's somebody in your city named Sheba, and he's working against David. He's working against the king. He's working against the kingdom. That's the reason for your problem. That's the reason for the attack. And he says a little further, deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. So I looked at this and I'm like, look what I see here. The attack is coming from the outside. The pressure is coming from the outside. The attack against the city is coming against the city walls on the outside. The wall is getting ready to crumble, and the source of that thing is coming from the outside. The issue that they're feeling is coming from the outside. But when she went to the right person and asked the right question, Joab told her, the problem ain't the attack that's coming from the outside. The root cause of your issue is not coming from the outside. The problem is coming from the inside. I walked through my house and I realized I got some cobwebs or spider webs in the house. And I keep dusting the spider webs in the house. And I realize my problem ain't the spider webs. Mm-hmm. The root cause of the cobwebs is there's some spiders in the house. Once I kill the spiders, the cobwebs go away. You know, I get them big granddaddy roaches or whatever, every now and then they just roll up in the house. The house ain't nasty. They just roll up in there. Amen. But I can treat and I can spray or whatever, and I'll see some dead ones or whatever. They'll have it. I know y'all saying we ain't going to eat over his house, but that's all right. You know, because about three or four folk up in here know it ain't my fault. They just roll up in there. Amen. And I spray and I see them on their back doing the James Brown or whatever, you know, and I'm wondering, you know, and I'm okay with that because as long as you a dead roach, you're all right, roach. But I only want them in the house. And once I find out where the rascals were coming in, I didn't get that many roaches anymore. Come on now. Right. Sometimes we deal with the symptoms, but the problem is you got to get to the root.
All right.
And God works from the inside out. And too often we want God to fix the problem and the pressure on the outside when we ain't dealing what's in the inside. I know I might need security to get out of here, but I'm just letting you know. Your outside issue might be an inside condition.
All right.
The pressure was coming from the outside. The attack was coming outside the walls. Joab told her that her problem didn't start on the outside. It started on the inside. Let me just kind of talk to somebody who might know what's going on here. See, when you put yourself in the story, your problem might be seen in your checkbook, but the root cause of your financial pressure might be something on the inside. You just be buying too much stuff. The problem might be with your health, but the root cause is you might not be eating right. The pressure might be coming at you from the outside, but the root cause might be you might not be living right. And until you find out the root cause, you're only dealing with the symptoms. You ain't gonna get no relief.
And so as I look at this, the woman's response is that Sheba's head will be thrown over the wall. And so my question to you is, what do you need to throw over the wall?
All right.
To protect your inheritance? What do you need to do to release that pressure? So the woman finds out what the root cause of the problem is. And then, verse 22, it says, then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom. That means when she found out what the problem was, when she found out it was an inside issue and not an outside issue, in her wisdom, she went and talked to everybody in the town. And they cut the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, and every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. I don't know what she said to save the city. Maybe she said something like, we've been going through something, and everything that we've been trying to do ain't been working, ain't been releasing the pressure. But I talked to a man. And he told us what the problem was. Mm-hmm. And if we just focus on this, maybe our problem will go away. And basically what she might have said was what Joab told her. There's something inside the city that's working against the kingdom.
Right.
That there's something inside the city that's working against the Lord and the King. We got to identify what that thing is inside of us that's working against the kingdom so that it release that pressure. The application for the day is simply this. We need to ask God, why are we going through? What are we going through? And maybe we just need to hold on. Or maybe there's something inside of us that we love so much that's working against the kingdom and the plan that God has for our life. And as soon as we pop the head off that rascal like a crayfish, the problem will go away. You don't believe me? Let me just go on and read the scripture. It says, when they cast his head out to Joab, they retired from the city, which means the trouble went away. As soon as they threw Sheba's head over the wall, the trouble was gone. Sheba, the person Joab said was against the king and the kingdom. And that is important to understand why Sheba had to go, because he was working against the kingdom. What's your Sheba? What's the issue or the condition that you need to deal with on the inside to make your outside problem go away?
Amen.
And I will tell you this, because I'm still in this flesh. Everybody got a Sheba on the inside.
Right.
Everybody got a little Sheba on the inside. Everybody got something inside of you that is working against the kingdom or against the plan that God has for your life. Some kind of rebellion inside of you that's working against the plan of God in your life. Instead of trying to protect Sheba, you need to pop the head off that rascal and throw it out of your life. What are we holding on to that we need to let go? Hate, let it go. Pain, let it go. That hurt, let it go. Unforgiveness and pride, let it go. If it was Beyonce up here, she would be telling you, just pack that stuff up and to the left and get it on out of here. And me and Deke, no, James Brown would tell you, you need to get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure. Amen. But my Bible tells me in Colossians 3:8, there's some things you need to put off, and Hebrews says you need to lay aside some weight. What is it that we're holding on to?
All right.
That God says you got to let it go. And when I look at my own life in this Black History Month, ooh, I love me some Black History. Y'all might not see it, y'all might not know it, but boy, I've been a militant for a long time. They almost wrote me up at one of my bases. I was in Mississippi, and I didn't want to fly the state flag in Mississippi because state flag in Mississippi had the battle flag on it. So I said, we ain't flying that thing, though. They called me in the office and said, you going to fly that flag? You're going to sign this paper over there. And so sometimes when I see some of those old movies or whatever, they always show during black and, oh, my God, the autobiography of Jane Pittman, that messed me up. That messed me up worse than Roots. Why that messed me up? You know, I went to predominantly white college or whatever, and boy, you know, I had a bunch of white friends, man, but then Jane Pittman came on or whatever, and good gracious reminded me, I got through seeing that, man, I was just walking into white people. Bone all up into them, whatever. You know, they looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, you know, I'm just, jump. I'm an angry brother. And then some of my white friends like, what's wrong with Chuck? Like, oh, he's in this black mood. Just let him go. He'd be all right. There ain't nothing wrong with our history.
Amen.
You should celebrate your black history.
Amen.
In fact, even when Israel crossed the Red Sea, the Lord allowed them to look back and see all those Egyptians floating in the water. So they could see what they got delivered from. And in the very next chapter, they start singing the praises about how the Lord thrown horse and rider into the sea. You got to look at your history with a spiritual eye. But sometimes I look at my history and it keeps me from where God wants me to be. Sometimes what's happened in the past is working against the kingdom and the plan of God that he has for me in my life. Y'all don't understand. Maybe you do. I was just in a church, and it was a predominantly white church, and I sat down there. There's only about 5 or 6 little black spots up in there or whatever, and I sat there next to somebody, sat down next to me or whatever, and I didn't shake their hand. I waited for them to shake my hand. And then when somebody didn't shake my hand, I'm like, oh, you must have an issue with the kid. And I sat down there in my beautiful blackness and was all right with that. But I'm in worship. And I realized there's still something inside of me that's working against the kingdom. I got to get up off of that thing. Because God is no respecter of person. And I'm not saying that we ain't supposed to be black. And I sure ain't saying we ain't supposed to be celebrating where we came from. But my blackness ain't going to get me to heaven.
No.
And nothing's going to trump that except for my relationship with God. I'm Christian first. I'm a kingdom kid first. I just happen to be black. I don't know what it is that we have to do, but sometimes you got to look inside yourself and see, is there something inside of me that I love so much that is working against the kingdom that's causing the pressure in my life? So I got a kid, I got 2 kids or whatever, and some of them want to talk to me and some of them don't. And so they get mad, I get mad because they got mad. And then my next response is, well, if you don't know how to talk to me, I ain't got to talk to you. Because I don't need you for my survival. Amen. And I'm good with that. If you too dumb to figure out what's going on with me or whatever, and I ain't did nothing wrong, freaky deaky. I came into the world without you. I don't have a problem even without you. Amen. But am I still bound? Is there something still inside of me that I love so much that it interferes with the plan of God in my relationships? So I had to let my pride go. I had to let my hurt feelings go and get up off of that thing.
So whether they call me or not, I don't care. I'll call them. Because I'm not letting anything keep me from what God has for me. And when I let it go, you know, the pressure kind of went down. And I sleep at night. All I got to do is pray for them and let him help them figure it out.
Amen.
But I'm going to be free.
Amen.
Ain't it wonderful to know that you can be a free black person and that the enemy and the bondage and the stuff on the inside no longer hold me bound. I know how to release that pressure. Get to the one who knows the answer.
Amen.
Ask him why you're going through some stuff. And when he gives you the answer, through the Holy Spirit, he'll show you what you got to let go of.
Amen.
And once you let go of that thing, that pressure's gone. Now, it's one thing to know it, but you got to apply it. Because she knew what to do. But the pressure didn't leave until she did what the man of God said to do. Oh, I got one more thing to share with you. That thing was inside. Sheba, working against the kingdom. Thing inside. Under pressure. Thing inside. If it wasn't for the attack, never would have been revealed to the woman where the problem was. I just said something. I got two hmms and an amen and a head nod. Let me try one more time. If it wasn't for what the city was going through, it never would have been revealed to them that their inheritance was in jeopardy. If they had never gone through the attack, they never would have known that they got something evil on the inside working against the plan of God.
Amen.
And so, parenthetically, might I say that somebody in the city might have started praising God for the attack because then they knew to get rid of the Sheba. Let me just make it personal for me. If it wasn't for what I went through, if it wasn't for the sin, if it wasn't for the struggles, if it wasn't for the divorce, if it wasn't for the pain and agony that I suffered, if it wasn't for the knee operation, if it wasn't for the fact that I injured my finger and it pops up on the side or whatever and does all this kind of funny stuff, if it wasn't for the pain, if it wasn't for the stuff I went through, I never would have known that he's my father. I never would have known that he was for me and not against me, and I never would have known that I had to repent and change in order to have everlasting life. If I hadn't gone through anything, I might still be on my way to hell instead of on my way to heaven. I praise God for what I went through. I praise God for the pain. I praise God for the divorce that I know how to hold on to this one right now. I praise God for what I suffered through. I praise God for the sickness because I know him to be a healer. I praise God for all I'm going through or whatever. I praise God for the job loss because I got a better job right now. An old girl pension just kicked in. I got some things going for me. He's working with me. He's not working against me. I know what I need to let go of. I praise God for the pain. Can anybody praise him in the midst of your storm and know that he's a ship that'll get you to shore? Well, I'm just a simple guy. The Lord showed me this message. So I'm doing what the wise woman did to save her city, to save her people, maybe to save her church. Go to the one who has the answer. Humbly ask the right question. See where the Lord leads you. And get up off of that thing. And your future will look brighter. You'll protect your inheritance. Our people, everybody in here was a slave. I asked a young person that one day and said, have you ever been a slave? He said, nope. I said, yes, you have. That's biblical. That's in Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 said, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And Abraham had a son named Isaac. And Abraham had another son. Jacob came out of that. And Levi was Jacob's son. And the Bible in Hebrews 7 says Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. Well, how did Levi pay tithes to Melchizedek when he wasn't even born? Abraham paid. And because Abraham paid, it's accounted to him. I was a slave. Because my forefathers were a slave. And when they served in slavery, I did too. The Bible talks about the first Adam. Well, how do we get our sin nature? Because we ain't Adam. And when Adam sinned, we all became sinners. But praise God for Christ. Because he came after Adam. And now I've been born again. And now I'm free. Ooh. And we as black people, the only way we can be free is to be dead to the past and to be dead to the fact that we got that slave mentality and walk in the newness of life and get up off of that thing. Pop the head off of some of those things in the past and look at our past with victory because we're not where we used to be. Praise God. Whew. I praise God that my ancestors were slaves. Because it gives me an appreciation of where he's brought me from. I can't help but vote. Because too many people fought for me when I couldn't vote. So I'm free. I'm a free black man. I'm a free man. Because those things that are inside of me that work against the kingdom, I can throw them over the wall. Praise God. Praise God. Doors of the church are open.